to get into all of this. We're actually going to have an expert to come on here who was covering the game last night. Mr. Michael Cummings from Bleacher Report is joining us on the line now. In fact, Michael, you were covering the US men's national team and England last night, the ideal man to talk to today. It's been far too long since we've had you on the show, mate. How are you doing? How are you? You must be a pretty happy guy after the US men's national team booking their place in Brazil 2014 last night.
Well, yeah, it certainly was a different kind of game, wasn't it? The England game was not necessarily the most exciting thing out there. But then the U.S., yeah, I have to admit, that was a lot of fun to watch last night. Dos a cero once again.
Let's talk England first and get the kind of the bleakness over and done with, because I've already been on a rant about this game already today, as I'm sure you'd expect. England last night were, to me, it very much seemed like they were outplayed yesterday, and it's something that happens continually. England will take on smaller nations, less kind of equipped footballing nations in terms of players, but they have a team chemistry which England seem to be lacking. How does Roy Hodgson get this group of players reaching their potential together? Because it just wasn't there last night.
Yeah, you know, for me, Ukraine actually missed their chance. You know, that England were there for the taking. And it's like you said, there just wasn't any kind of team chemistry. We have to be fair to Hodgson, though. He was without some of his key players. I'll give him that. Wayne Rooney was out. Danny Welbeck, who has been pretty excellent lately for the national side, he was out. Daniel Sturridge, also out. But then you see Jack Wilshere. He struggled in the team. Gerrard and Lampard, it wasn't quite working in the midfield. Nobody could hold on to the ball. I wonder when he'll bring in Michael Carrick, a player like that who can possess the ball, hold possession, keep the team ticking. I think that might be a good key for the final two qualifiers.
A name that has been on everybody's lips, Michael Carrick. Why is he not in this side after being a top performer for United in the Premier League over the last few years? But if you bring him in, you've got to take somebody out of that midfield. Who do you take out? Do you take out Wilshere? Do you take out Gerrard? Or do you take out Lampard, the 100-cap man? Somebody's right. Got to go.
Yeah, that's the tough question right here. And it's been a question that's plagued a lot of England managers, of course, because, you know, Steven Gerrard and Frank Lampard, it's never been, you know, all that easy for those two to play together. We saw some signs that they were able to, but of course that was against Moldova. I don't want to throw Wilshere under the bus because he's such a promising player, but maybe in this instance, maybe he might be the odd man out. I'm not sure. I'm glad I'm not Roy Hodgson in this instance.
Have we ever seen, though, Michael, have you ever seen Gerrard and Lampard for England be able to play together? We've had almost 10 years of this now. Do you really think these two are just that incapable of playing alongside each other in the heart of a midfield?
Well, these days, though, Gerrard does play a little bit deeper, and that helps things a little bit. But no, I think I have to agree with you. But the question, though, once again, is who do you take out? You're not going to take out your captain, right? But then does that mean you take out Lampard? He has more than 100 caps also. This is a really tough decision.
It's one that I'm sure will keep Roy Hodgson up at night going into the final qualifiers, the games in October. What did you make of Hodgson going into this, though? Obviously, had to bring in somebody to place Welbeck out on that left flank, if you will, and opted to go for James Milner when some would have liked to have seen Andros Townsend. I myself would have liked to have seen him in a slight, because he's a slightly more attacking guy. Do you think Hodgson went out looking to secure a point rather than a win last night?
Yeah, I think he did. And I don't necessarily think there's anything per se wrong with that, going to Kiev, which is a tough place to play, and looking for the point. I know that England fans will want to say, you know, we have to beat Ukraine. But the reality is, this is a tough team, and playing away from home, going for the point wasn't necessarily all that bad. I wasn't completely against seeing Milner out there. He does have a lot of experience. But it definitely was a conservative game plan, and it, you know, seeing that kind of play on the field, it was not nice to watch at all. I have to admit.
Ukraine, on the other hand, moved the ball very nicely. We know this is a difficult side, but were you maybe taken aback slightly, or how impressed were you by how well they kept the ball on the deck and had a wonderful passing play at points?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We heard so much about Yarmolenko, Konoplyanka, coming into the match. I think they both matched those expectations. Konoplyanka, especially, I think, was so dangerous. We're hearing that, you know, some Premier League clubs might be interested in him. I'd be thrilled to see him playing in the Premiership. He was dangerous the whole match. Ukraine, for me though, they fell off a little bit after that opening, that frantic opening that we saw. And like I said earlier, I think they missed their opportunity because England were there for the taking. Ukraine had a lot of good attacking thrusts down the flanks. Kyle Walker seemed to be a little off the pace. And, you know, they just, I think this was their chance to beat England. They just couldn't do it.
Were you screaming penalty when Walker, the name escapes me now, who went down, when Walker committed the challenge on the edge of the box?
Zozuya.
Yeah, were you screaming penalty? Was that inside? Have England got away with one there, do you think?
I think maybe so. I would have to watch it a couple more times. I was just trying to keep up with my live blog, to tell you the truth. I definitely took a couple close looks at it. And, you know, if I couldn't decide that quick, I don't know how the referee could. For me, it was close. I'll say that.
Now, the points obviously excellent for England in their group. They now sit on top of it, 16 points, with Ukraine, Montenegro on 15 points each, Poland on 13 points just behind them. Only one can automatically qualify with just two games remaining. The control, it's all in England's hands now, but they take on Montenegro and Poland, both at home, but still difficult tasks. Are they still the favourites, do you think, to finish on top of this group?
I would give a qualified yes to that, because they're at home. You know, this is where I would have to say this is where Hodgson wanted the team to be going into the final two matches. You know, it hasn't been necessarily all that pretty. They haven't beaten anybody in the group besides Moldova or San Marino, but they haven't shot themselves in the foot either. Going into the final two games, like you said, they're going to be tough, but they will be at Wembley. And if you can't beat Montenegro and Poland at Wembley, then I don't think you deserve to go to the World Cup. So I would say England, yeah, still the favorites, you know, qualified though, because they haven't necessarily played all that well, you know, throughout qualifying.
It doesn't bode well that they're loving drawing at the moment. You know what happens when you get into a knockout stages of a World Cup and you draw, you go to penalties, and that's England automatically out as soon as we get to that stage, that's for sure.
Oh boy, yeah.
Elsewhere last night, Michael, you're obviously, as I say, a happy man. The US men's national team getting another 2-0 win over Mexico in Columbus. Were you surprised how comfortable it was? We've seen this Mexico side obviously haven't played well in the in World Cup qualifications so far. That's why they find themselves in the situation that they're in. But with the change of manager, with Chep De La Torre out and Tena coming in, did you expect more from Mexico last night?
Well, yes and no. I expected them to start strongly, which they did. Mexico were on top for the opening 15 minutes at least. Tim Howard made a few good saves to keep the U.S. in the match. And after that, Mexico kind of fell off, which is what happened at home against Honduras the other night on Friday at the Azteca. So, you know, I expected them to start strong for their new manager, and then I kind of expected them to fall off, which is what happened. Now, winning 2-0 again, you know, it's happened quite a bit in the past, you know, all of them at Columbus in all the qualifiers. But to tell you the truth, I was not expecting another 2-0 last night, because the U.S. just had so much adversity to face. You know, Mexico did, obviously, with the new coach having a horrible qualifying campaign. But the U.S. was without Michael Bradley, who for me is the best player on the roster, also without Jozy Altidore, the holding number 9 up top. Matt Beisler, central defender, was suspended. Jeff Cameron was suspended. Lots of players suspended. Tim Howard actually hadn't been playing all that well. A lot of people wanted Brad Guzan to come in. I think I might have been one of them. But, you know, it all worked out last night. Even Jermaine Jones, he even turned in a good game. And then Altidore's replacement, Eddie Johnson, played very well, and he, you know, obviously scored the winning goal. So, yeah, I was a little surprised, but I think one of the things this showed was that Klinsmann has built a really deep roster, you know, by design. I saw an article somewhere where he's used 47 players this year, 39 have started That's incredible. He's building so much depth with this team, and that really came out last night.
I was going to say, I wanted to get into the adversity of the U.S. going into it, because we saw them absolutely crumble without Michael Bradley against Costa Rica. And obviously, it didn't help him getting injured in the warm-ups. You know, that's obviously going to affect your side. But for the U.S. to have been that bad with just one change, it was very surprising. I guess you'd have to be extremely satisfied with the way that the US, you know, showed a great composure going into it. Is it down to Klinsmann, or is it down to growth in US soccer in general that we're seeing this US team with such depth?
Right, I think it's both. I think you're right about that, but I think you do need to give a lot of credit to Klinsmann, just because of those numbers I was throwing out before. 47 players he's played this year. Eddie Johnson, just for instance, he scored the winner last night. He rejoined the squad last fall, and he had not played with the team for 2 years before that. You know, so look at Kyle Beckerman, who came into the midfield. He's not a starter. I guess it's true that he has been around. So it's not just Klinsmann, but Klinsmann has brought in players like Eddie Johnson. He's brought them back into the fold. He's developed depth at every position by design. But it's like you're saying, U.S. soccer has improved overall. I think it's pretty exciting.
It's very exciting indeed, and the U.S. being on top of CONCACAF at the moment as well, qualification. What does it mean for the U.S. to be this far away from Mexico? Always that comparison of the top two in CONCACAF between Mexico and the U.S. The U.S. have got a huge gap in terms of the group standings. How big a gap and gulf in quality at the moment is there between the U.S. and Mexico in general? Have the U.S. started to really make a claim for being the powerhouse in CONCACAF?
Well, that's kind of tough to answer. Just look a couple years ago when Mexico, you know, dominated the U.S. in the Gold Cup final 4-2, even after the U.S. took the 2-0 lead. And then summer of 2012 won the gold medal. For me, right now, Mexico is just going through a really tough time. They're having an identity crisis. Chepo was just not working out. He couldn't get his selections right. Key players didn't even want to come in to the national team. It's just kind of a mess. I wouldn't say that there's a big gulf in quality. I think more that the U.S. has its setup organization in a better spot. And I think that goes back to Klinsmann, you know, being that organizer. He's built depth. He's made it a really professional setting. So I wouldn't say there's a big gulf in quality. I wonder how many of the U.S. starters last night, you know, would be automatic starters for Mexico. I'm not sure it's that many. So I think the difference right now is it might be organizational.
The power of team chemistry, Michael. You can never underestimate it in football, and the U.S. have it in spades at the moment. You mentioned Eddie Johnson, his quality performance. Obviously, off the pitch, there's a little bit of talk with EJ and the Sounders. You know, his celebration the other night showed, you know, you got to pay him, doing, as I say, his Flavor Flav impression. Do you think these performances, obviously he's been important for the Sounders recently, but for the US as well, the better he does at international level, the more he can put pressure on the Sounders to give him a deal. How do you think the Sounders will be feeling a kind of a need to actually give in and renegotiate a new contract, new deal with him, giving him a bit of extra cash?
Yeah, I think it's possible. You know, I couldn't say for sure, of course, but you know, last night definitely has to help. He was excellent for the U.S. and that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, anything at the club level, but I think it does show what he's capable of. And you know, what he's capable of is being an excellent number nine, or he can play on the flanks. He's versatile. He has a lot of skill. He can do a lot of different things for you, and I think they will end up paying him.
Now, we're obviously being, you know, very positive about the U.S. men's national team here, Michael, but throughout the whole of this kind of gleaming light of the 2-0 win, are there any negatives to take out of it? For me personally, you know, Dempsey didn't play as well as I think I've seen him play in a U.S. men's national team shirt, and it's not been a great time in Seattle for him as on an individual note, although the team are playing well and better with him in it. Are there any negatives at all that kind of are maybe getting kind of paved over slightly by the kind of hooray of making it to the World Cup?
Yeah, you know, I was a little worried about Dempsey myself last night after I had come off that high, like you were saying. That penalty he took at the end of the match was terrible. You know, it didn't really matter because we wanted the Dos Acero once again. Tres Acero wouldn't be quite as amazing, I guess. But
well, it's a done thing when the U.S. play Mexico, isn't it, in Columbus? You can't score three. It's got to be two.
Exactly. You know, he might have just missed it on purpose. But then you also look at the Costa Rica match when he did score the penalty. It was not a good penalty either. It hasn't really been working for him up top, and like you said, it hasn't been the best run out in Seattle so far. I'm a bit concerned, but I don't want to say that, you know, he's past it or anything like that. I think maybe we ought to be a bit concerned by him, and I also want to point out that, you know, we did lose 3-1 in Costa Rica, which is a tough place to play, but we were absolutely dominated for that opening 10 minutes. It was just a meltdown. So, you know, everybody right now, like you said, is beaming, and, you know, and everything is great because we qualified for the World Cup. But let's not get carried away. You know, there's still lots of work to do.
Let's keep the heads on, but keep looking forward. And, of course, the U.S. men's national team booking their place in Brazil 2014. Michael, an absolute pleasure to chat with you about all things U.S. men's national team in Mexico last night. And, of course, get your thoughts on the England game as well against Ukraine. Just quickly, last question, very brief. Do Mexico qualify for the World Cup, do you think?
Yeah, I think they will. I think they will enter the Intercontinental Playoff, and I think they'll beat New Zealand.
Still got the faith in Mexico. Luis Fernando Tena not starting off well, though, is his first game in charge in Columbus, but 2-0. You could have put money on it. Michael, a pleasure to have you on the show, mate. We really appreciate you taking the time out to join us, and we look forward to catching up with you a lot sooner than it has been, because it's been a while since we had you on the show, mate.
Sure has. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Not a problem. Take care, Michael. Have a good one. Mr. Michael Cummings joining us from Bleacher Report, talking all things U.S. men's national team, and, of course, their 2-0 win against Mexico last night. Very good indeed. Early going was tough, but they got kind of over the first kind of enthusiastic...